Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Challenge fans? Welcome in for another edition of The Challenge. That's right, season 35. We've got Victim of Love, episode 13, and there was a lot of love and not love so much going on tonight. I'm joined by two fabulous hosts. We've got Jenna. What's going on, Jenna?
What's up? Hello, everyone.
And, of course, I'm going to swing it over to Benny. We're joined by Benny as well. He's apparently live in studio tonight. He's allowed
we're
back
in the
there.
Studio, you guys.
And we're going to start off tonight's episode.
Glad to be back.
I'm glad to see you there, Benny. Looking good, man. Looking
it
good
looks really professional. It looks very legit. I feel like you're going to read us like the
thank
evening
you
news
guys.
Instead.
Thank you.
What floor are you on? Because I see a beautiful skyline back to your right there. It's a beautiful Los Angeles skyline.
Oh, we're
are
all you? The way up top, man. All
penthouse. I thought so. Let's throw it over to you with some news, Benny, that you had an interview this week with Nia and Jordan, and let's talk about that to start the show.
Yeah, so I had an interview with Nia and Jordan. It was a really, really good interview, and I'm sure, as like all of our listeners and all you guys know, Jordan is under some controversy because of what he said in the past during the Real World Portland. So he came on the show to talk about that, and he said a lot of things. Like, one important thing that I remembered is he said he hasn't been in touch with MTV or Viacom. And I don't know if you guys remember, there was a rumor going around that they had a meeting and that Jordan was going to be banned but not fired. So according to Jordan, he has no idea what's going to happen whatsoever. Another thing, I thought it was very cool of him to apologize for what had happened back during the Real World, and him and Nia just explaining, you know, what happened behind the scenes during that fight. So overall, yeah, it was a very interesting, good interview.
Yeah, shout out Benny for that, because that's incredible that you got that together. Benny's working overtime, guys. He is setting this up by himself. He's doing all this work to try and give you the conversations for Black Lives Matter that are needed. I think bringing Nia and Jordan together was huge, especially with all the rumors and all the talk that's been circulating about those two, especially and Jordan. And having it be with you and a host and a moderator, not just them kind of conversationally talking through a live, was so big and important. I had a follow-up question for you. Do you feel like Jordan tiptoed around some of the subjects a little bit? Because when I was watching, I was kind of like, oh, I can't put you on the spot like that.
Yeah, you know, I do think that he genuinely feels bad for what he said. And I know he feels very sorry. I know a lot of the fans, the big thing for them, I don't think a lot of fans think he's racist, like maybe some who don't know Jordan and they were just introduced to him a couple of seasons ago. But fans who have been watching since Real World Portland, they knew Jordan said these things. So I don't think they thought he was racist. I think they wanted him to be held accountable, meaning they wanted him to have the same fate as D. And so I asked him, do you think that, you know, you shouldn't be on the challenge? And he said, you know, he pretty much said he should be, because where would anyone learn from that? You wouldn't learn anything from just punishing him. So, you know, that's what he said. Some fans still didn't think that, you know, he was giving it his all. Some fans were actually very happy about it. So it's in between.
Did he say if he thought that D should then be still allowed to be on the challenge then? I forget.
He said that he thinks that MTV acted very, very hastily, if that's even a word. But yeah, they acted very, very fast, I guess.
Okay.
He does. I remember asking him, he did say he does think D deserves a second chance.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable with that, Nicole.
You're good.
No, you did a really good job with the interview. And speaking of rumors and not knowing where the hell they come from, like this meeting that Jordan supposedly had with MTV, another rumor in Challenge World that just keeps going round and round that I keep seeing is about Big Brother, the newest season of Big Brother. And everybody seems to keep posting that Davon and Swaggy C are going to return. But Davon has gone on her own Twitter saying she's not doing it. And now I just saw on Challenge T Instagram like an hour ago that there is now a US Weekly article where Swaggy C even says, I would not go back right now. I know all these rumors about All Star Season 2. Swaggy C is not on that. So it's like, do they have to just say that? Because some fans just cannot give up that these two are going to be on that season, and they just will not drop that and let it go. And it keeps getting posted and talked about. And people are like, I wonder if he is on it or not. It's like, didn't they confirm that they're not? I don't know why we're still thinking it, but it could be a curveball.
Well, it's interesting because I remember Davon was saying earlier, she was like, no, I did not get a call for that season, but I did get a call for something else, something like that. So that made me think that she got a call for the challenge, because it's either that or the challenge, right?
Yeah.
Unless hopefully she's like some completely new reality show. But Josh is rumored to be on that season, Big Brother.
Yeah. And all these rumors, though, it's hard for me to believe any of them until I actually see it in writing or on one of the actual, like, legitimate, like, fan pages where it has them all listed for the season. It's hard for me to even believe any of these rumors. So, any other news, guys, before we move on to this episode tonight?
No, I think that's it.
Oh, all right. Well, I got a question to start off the episode, guys. Is Casey cheating? Did she cheat in what we saw this episode or throughout the season? Did she cheat? And I'll let you guys, I'll go last if you'd like this time. You guys go ahead.
So I would consider this, okay, I'm not going to use the word cheating. I don't think that's the vocabulary word you would use. However,
really?
What did she say that Nani kissed her? Kissed her where? I don't know. I missed that. It was literally bleeped out. Okay, so you might be right there, actually. You might be right, because that was really blurry and that part wasn't really clear or confirmed. So how I felt watching it was, if I am Casey's girlfriend, I'm really upset for a lot of reasons. It seems like she's not giving her relationship at home the validity it deserves. And whether it's like a kiss on the cheek or a cuddle on the couch or a hug here, a giggle there, it's still, I think, the amount that they're really hitting it off and the fact that they seem like so immersed in each other and they're so happy about it, that would be kind of disheartening for any significant other to watch. Is like, why are you vibing on somebody else so strongly? You know, you're really like ear to ear, like you're really loving this and you're kind of like belittling our relationship. And so if it's just kind of like tussling on the couch a little bit, it wouldn't be cheating. I don't know what or where Nani may have kissed Casey, but it seemed like something more happened. But if I'm Casey's girlfriend and I'm sitting at home, like I would really be sketched out. I would be concerned, and it could be means for a breakup. It absolutely could be.
Benny the Jet.
So I feel like Casey's girlfriend knows that she knows what she's like. I think she knows that Casey is a very flirtatious person. Because I remember her girlfriend tweeted something and she was like, you know what? I'm laughing so hard at all these people, like saying all these negative things about me breaking up with Casey. And so I think she doesn't have a problem with it. I think that's just Casey's personality. She's a very flirtatious person, as long as she doesn't cross the line. I was under the assumption when she said that she kissed Nani, wherever she kissed Nani, I was under the assumption that she was joking, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know. You have to, as long as you know your relationship and you know that your girlfriend or significant other is indeed joking and you're 1,000% sure they would never do something with you, it does seem like they're vibing so strongly that it would be questionable, you know? And I feel like it does cross the line enough. Like, even if it's maybe just like a toe or two over, it's enough to be like, why are you dating somebody else so much? You know, it seems like it's more than friends. It absolutely is. Cause Casey goes in her confessional and says like, I feel something so strongly for her. And it's like, what? Wait, back up.
Now, are they together? Or did they break up? Or are they still together, Casey and her girlfriend?
I remember seeing something probably like a month ago that they were still together. I don't know about now, but.
Yeah, well, I'll go all in with this. And I'll say she was totally cheating. The way that they were on the couch together, the wrestling and everything, it was so like, it was, we can say it was inappropriate all we want, but to me, if I saw my girlfriend on the couch with a dude, or I guess another girl, another girl, I might feel, no, if it, either way, I would feel super like used, like you, wait, how much do you care about me if you're willing to share that type of like, the wrestling was so like almost passionate to me, the way I was looking at that, was like, if you're willing to be passionate like that with someone else, when we're passionate like that, will you just be passionate with anybody that you fancy or find attractive or have a mental connection with? Because to me, it was she. And then the kissing thing, I believe it was, the way it sounded was it was like in this area. So if someone else is kissing my, I think that's why they bleeped it, because it was the T word for breasts. I don't know why I just don't say the T word then. But either way, I think it was in this area. We don't know because it was bleep, but if someone else kissed my girlfriend in this area, I'm sorry, but that's cheating to me, and I'm not about it. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's me.
I think
if you're Casey's girlfriend, it's blurry enough where you could go either way. If you really love her and you want to stay with her, then you can easily say, it wasn't cheating, it wasn't enough. So what, she got flirty. Or you could say, this exactly what you said. If you could be so passionate with somebody else, are you just going to do that with anybody else that kind of like comes on to you a little bit flirty, or somebody that you think is hot? So now it's like,
and here's my final thing on it. If you're willing to do this on TV where you know cameras are watching, what are you doing when there's no cameras around and not worried about getting caught? Because clearly she should be worried about the cameras seeing this, and she still was doing those things with Nani. So
exactly.
But what if Casey's girlfriend is the exact same way? She's just,
well, that's their relationship then, for sure, people. Benny. That's fine. If they want to be open like that, more power to them. But that's not how I would want my personal relationship to be if I'm going to be with someone 1v1. Let's get into the challenge of the evening, guys. It was called a blocked in. You had to free a red car out of like this, like around all these other cars. Didn't we already see this in like 8 seasons ago where they had to like drive cars around and get them free? Or am I like losing it? Did we ever see something like this or no?
I don't remember, but I loved this challenge though, because it reminded me of like just all those games on your phone that you play.
It was that, Ben. Benny, it was a massive version of that, man. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Did you guys not actually have,
I want to do this.
There was actually a toy I had growing up. That's literally all the cars in the grid and they had the traffic jam. And I was just thinking, I'm forever sucked at that game. I can never figure it out. That game is a bane of my existence and I hate it. And I think for this challenge, I would be so frustrated. And I love that everybody is being proactive when they see it. Melissa's like, we're going to do this, this, this. Everybody's strategizing before they actually even get into the playing field. And I'm thinking, is this just ambitious? Is this wishful thinking, or do they actually have this strategy down to a T? I would think you would need like a bird's eye view. It's probably so hard to do while you're in the middle of the cars and dealing with, yeah, not being able to see it from a good vantage point.
It's got to be harder without that bird's eye view, because that's how the games work when you play the games, or if you had the little piece that we, your game that you and I had, Jenna, where you just had to move the, you put the car anywhere, put the other cars, kind of close your eyes, and then just try to solve it. You know, bird's eye view is key. You're not going to be playing it like this.
Yeah. So,
right.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever at any point in this challenge think, like, okay, I know what they need to do here. I know where they need to move what car.
Nope. No, I did not.
Hell no. I was like, but I good, did. Good for you guys, because I would be shit at this.
I loved when Anissa was like, I wish I could just tell them to just push the damn car that way. And she's like pointing over there. No one's listening to her. Whenever she tries to talk, people are just telling her to shut up. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, they made it sound like Team 1 had no chance of winning, by the way, because they showed, when they showed Team 2, they completed it like super quick. But in actuality, Team 1 still won by 13 seconds. So producers trying to trick us right there for sure.
What did any you other think thoughts? What did you think about Team 1 choosing Rogan as their puzzle master, as their spokesperson?
They always choose him for puzzles for everyone. Is he that good?
Has to be good at puzzles. He has to be.
And yet we haven't seen it, Benny, right? Or maybe we did last season. I'm not sure. Like,
I'm trying. Yeah.
I think it was a good strategy in theory, right? To pick one person to speak, but you're also putting a lot of eggs into one basket. Like, at one point, you're going to have to collaborate, right? Rogan's not a know-all. He's not God of this puzzle. He's going to need help from somebody at one point or another. Too many voices is overpowering each other is never going to work, but putting all the trust in Rogan, I was like, well, I guess if you pick that strategy.
I think it's like the two heads are better than one. Bam, Benny and I just said at the same time. Two heads are better than one. You should have two people doing the calling out, because you can also view it from different viewpoints too if you spread those two people out. And then just go for it from there, I think. But yeah, one wasn't enough.
And if you have Bananas on that team with all the experience he's had and how good he is at puzzles and strategy, why would he not be the easy choice to be the spokesperson? I guess Rogan was probably pushing for himself.
I guess.
Yeah. I will say Bailey killed it though during that challenge. She was a beast.
Yeah,
she was the most vocal, and she made the most sense to me as far as like, okay, all right. She seems like logical here. Everyone else was just yelling stuff, so I didn't know what was going on. But Bailey seemed logical with her opinions on where to move.
And with everything she went through this episode, it was really good to see that side of her too. Her finding her voice and the challenge, actually being vocal and kind of making a little bit of, you know, making a presence when for past challenges we haven't really seen her be that vocal and taking charge like that. So that was awesome.
Yeah,
let's be honest, Bailey's had
she
a great
to get
season
in that elimination.
I know.
Yeah, she did.
That
Bailey's had a great
why
season.
She was so passionate about it later on, because she felt like she kicked ass at the challenge
and she only lost by 13 seconds. So she had it. And honestly, I think that Bailey carried Swaggy throughout the whole season too, if I'm being super honest. But that's me. No you can disagree. I don't it's all good.
I think Wes carried both of them.
Well, when you team season up with Wes, you're in pretty good hands for at least a while.
I think Bailey did have a better social game though, I think.
Until this episode when no one wanted to help her out, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
And I guess like- we can go ahead,
Jen. Oh, yeah, no, I was going to say, it seems like from what this episode has showed us, it looked like they had little to no social game. They definitely were relying on the Big Brother alliance, but that I don't know about that Big Brother alliance. I feel like that's so wishy-washy. Like, sure, you can say you want to stick together as, like, a BB team, but when it really comes down to it, I don't think anybody on this season were that close from Big Brother that they wouldn't just put somebody, one of their new friends, for the challenge in.
Bailey at one point said that her and Casey had an unspoken agreement before they came in that they were going to help each other out. I'm like, an unspoken agreement? That doesn't mean crap on the challenge. Unspoken agreement? Not even like a, we talked about it. It's unspoken. We're both on Big Brother. No, it clearly didn't matter tonight. Well, let's get into that. Let's get into nominations. Mel and Bay, I'm giving them nicknames, both want to go in. And of course, how convenient is it that Casey gets the final vote when it's all tied up. Conspiracy. How is that not planned? Benny, come on. That was a conspiracy. No, that,
no,
that was
I'm with you on that conspiracy.
Oh, good. I got a conspiracy.
What? I think you guys are getting too, like, tinfoil antennas on the head with that one. How can they
Jenna, Jenna, how could they, producers say, let Casey vote last no matter what, just until see what happens, and then boom, it's tied up. That's
okay,
what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I guess that, but I mean, she knew before the nomination that she was the one and only swing vote. So that's, the way it panned out was not a surprise at all. It was going to be that way. Melissa started politicking before the daily challenge, before the nomination round. I feel like she already had numbers because she had promoted how badly she wanted to go in their way before. So okay, in that sense, possibly, but it being like a crazy conspiracy, I was like, no, we always knew it was gonna be like that.
Just thought of another conspiracy. They let the entire team win and be in the tribunal. That's like the first time we've seen it all season. Not three people, they let like seven people be in that tribunal.
Like,
so
why
those, exactly, so those people in theory should have been in that room voting. Because only the tribunal does not vote. And that would have swung the votes maybe differently. And then maybe Bailey would have got in, but they didn't want Bailey to get in. They want the drama with Bailey because they know she likes to freak out, maybe from Big Brother. And there you go. The producer swung it in their favor again to get us drama. And I'm happy they did because the drama.
That's
awesome.
A conspiracy I can get behind. That one I can get behind because why the hell was there like 12 people in that interrogation room?
Right.
It was the first time we saw it all season.
So far.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did you guys think of nominations? It went how we thought. I mean, anything else? Any other thoughts before we move on from nominations?
Bailey, man.
Well, we're
I was
get
not surprised.
My next comment from is we're going to talk about Bailey right now is she's freaking out in an engine room somewhere and a producer goes and talks to her. And I'm just like, why no one else? She just went by herself. You think like, why was no one else like helping her at that point? Because we see in the next scene, Nelson of all people, he's so mean to Anissa in the season, but then all of a sudden he's like this like saint coming over to Bailey and telling her everything's going to be okay. And I believe this is the scene that the their famous blanket makes an appearance, their love blanket.
Yeah.
Swaggy season. And I don't know. I just wanted to get thoughts on is Bailey's freaking out justified? Because she doesn't know if there's going to be another elimination after this one. And she doesn't know at this point. She could still get voted in at this point in theory. Right?
Yeah.
Here's
so
my
think,
thing.
Go ahead,
with,
Benny.
Here's my thing with Bailey. I'm torn with it, but I'm more towards KC's side because, you know, you have to remember this is a game. This isn't your personal life. You're in this game to win money and you have to put all personal feelings aside. Johnny Banana said it best. He doesn't make close relationships with a lot of these people on the challenge because he has to make tough decisions that some people will get hurt over. And so I understand why Bailey is upset and now she doesn't have Swaggy C there. And it feels like she has no one there after Casey betrayed her. But I think she took it too far when Bailey was like, I'm going to tell her ex everything that's been going on. Pretty much saying I'm going to get her ex to break up with her. That I thought was taking it too far because that's when you're going back into the real life and you're messing up the real life. This is a game right now. And you leave everything in the game. And then when the game is over, you just leave it all there. And you go back to your real life.
Yeah. And Benny, I wrote it down. I wrote down MTV is going to show all this anyways, Bailey. You don't need to be, you can air out her dirty laundry if you want, but MTV is going to show all the cuddling. I mean, that's good footage that they want to, you know, use. So,
I mean, I wonder if they wouldn't have shown it if they kept D a little bit more of a bigger presence, you know? So I guess there's kind of, it's uncertain how much they will show of a subject. But what you're saying, Bailey's not coming from a place of respect for Casey's girlfriend. She's coming from a place of resentment and spite for Casey.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like, that's where it's wrong. But there's a lot going on in this Bailey Casey situation. And it's a lot to try and digest yourself and try to see what's true or not. Because it's a lot of he said, she said. So there's parts of it where I can defend Bailey and totally understand where she's coming from. Because it is that part where you're emotionally completely drained and you freak out and you blow up. But even before that, I know what she's saying when she's sitting there in the nomination, and I agree that she should have spoken up and she should have promoted herself, but I wonder if she would have made herself look like more of a fool by trying to speak. If she had like shaky voice, was going to cry and freak out. I think she was trying in the best way she can to withhold her emotions, because she knows she goes to 0 and 100. So I think in that point, she's kind of like trying to keep it all under wraps so she doesn't freak out too early. What pissed me off about Casey in the nomination is that everybody knows Casey is voting in Melissa for Nani, because that's who Nani wants. So why does Casey say, Bailey, I just don't trust you in the game. I like you as a person, but I don't trust you in the game. That was like, okay, that's a lie.
Yeah.
And why are you now trying to pin something on Bailey?
I mean, not like she doesn't want to make her girlfriend any more jealous than she might already be by giving that as the reason. Who knows? But she obviously, it was a false reason, I think. But there.
I did feel that was a cop out when she said that.
Yeah, that definitely rubbed me the wrong way. And so Bailey, I get that she's coming from a place of emotion. She's completely, entirely alone now. She doesn't feel like anybody's in her corner. It was so nice of Nelson and Kyle to come and give her that support, because when you're in a place like that, I feel like it's like, you know, she feels bullied regardless of whether she is or not. So maybe she shouldn't be playing a victim if she's not, but either way, she's a victim in her head. So she's warranted in her feelings and her emotions. You know what I mean? But it's just confusing them, because it seems like she's even more justified when she talks about Casey was saying, I want you in bed with me. She was saying, I miss you. She was saying like that. Yeah. I was the Nani before the Nani. So then it's like, oh, so there's even more emotions in this than we thought.
I didn't watch this Big Brother season. We need to watch this Big Brother season.
I know, right?
Because then I would be able to like really understand I was going to ask you guys, who do you think is telling the truth more, Casey or Bailey? Like, exactly, right? Like, I don't know.
Well, if it's on the Big Brother season, then, you know, we got to give it to Bailey. If what she's saying is on Big Brother, then
Bailey to be telling the truth. Because I love that drama with Casey kind of being the, Casey's building a character now. She's like the flirtatious, is she a player? Is she not a player? It just builds her character so much more if we think that she's done this in the past, or was she using Bailey in the Big Brother house to get further in the house? That was the other thing I was thinking too, though. Was she just saying those things like, I need to be lying in bed with you at night? I love having you around, because she realized Bailey was a good player in Big Brother. I don't know.
Well, then that was her time to say that then, instead of just saying it didn't happen. But there's the she said thing. We don't know who's really telling truth. I think there's definitely grounds to believe that Bailey is fabricating, but I also think that Casey might be fabricating too, because the way she talks about Nani in her confessional at the beginning of the episode is like, we're just flirting. We're just really good friends. And then she turns around and says, yeah, Bailey and I flirted, but just
she also says Bailey is beautiful in that confessional as well.
Yeah.
So she clearly doesn't think that she's ugly. Like I can visually see her flirting with her and not having it feel like a completely made up thing. Benny, we got to get on this. I don't think Bailey will want to come back on because of the show tonight, maybe, but we got to get an interview with Bailey. We got to get an interview with Casey, or we round table it, Benny.
Hey,
come on. We get everybody in.
Let's
get
both of them on. Let's get them to be friends again. You know,
we got to round table it. We got to round table
I'm down. I'm down. Bailey, Casey, if you're watching this,
yes,
come on. We want to talk to you.
We just want to figure it out.
We need to figure it out. Really. Yeah. I really do get where Bailey's coming from, but there is also a lot of things that she did wrong in this situation. She's spazzed. Like, I don't think she needed to maybe reach that level. But again, sometimes your emotions come out, and if you think that's somebody you consider to be a really good friend of yours and you had a past relationship, then that's her own prerogative. That's her own feelings. But I also think, one, it's not anybody else's fault that she is now not getting the opportunity at the Proving Ground. Like we said last time, everybody, it's
Proving Ground. I love that you called it Proving Ground.
That's what it is, right?
Oh, no, it's purgatory, but it's still a version of it. I love it.
But it does seem like a lot of people are deflecting their fate in this game on other people. And it's like, it's not really Casey's responsibility to carry you to the purgatory. Because you had X amount of chances. You've been in the tribunal a number of times, Bailey. You really could have volunteered. Yeah. You could have gone in. And I also, it's not Nani's fault at all, because Casey's doing this for Nani for herself, for Casey. So don't blame Nani. And also, why is Nani a lying ass hoe?
You nailed my next point.
Oh my.
My next comment, guys, is why is Nani a lying asshole? What did she lie about tonight? Because I didn't see anything with the lying. No. Can you guys help me out with this?
That's where Bailey's wrong. That's where Bailey keeps going and going. Bailey was just pissed. You're wrong. Yeah.
Is Bailey a little butthurt that Casey doesn't like her anymore? But she's with Swaggy now. They're like engaged. So why is she so?
I think that's it.
Is it just because she doesn't have support in the game anymore then?
No, it's what Bailey said. It's she feels betrayed. You know, she expected Casey to go her way instead of Nani's way.
Well, Benny, let me ask you this though: Did she talk or team up with Casey all season, Bailey?
No. Well, they even said it. Like she made her own bed by just being with Fessy.
So that's my point, though. Why should Bailey be so upset when, like, she hasn't really been hanging out with Casey all season? And apparently, Casey and Nani were hanging out all season, but the producers and they didn't really show us a lot. Like, they were all season doing that cuddling stuff. So, okay, yeah. Casey, that letter vote. She should be able to help Nani. Yeah. But anyway, sorry.
We only really saw them hang out with Wes, pretty much.
Right. Exactly.
No, that's a really good point. It's a two-way road. It's a two-way street. And if she wasn't also extending that alliance and that relationship, now that she's bringing it up only now, when she didn't get the vote from Casey and Casey was a swing vote, you're right. That could be wrong of Bailey too, because we didn't really see much of their friendship this entire season. And now to pull it out when, again, you just didn't get into purgatory where it's like, you can't just blame everybody else for not going to purgatory. That's what everybody's doing at this point who hasn't gone to Red Skull yet.
I'm telling you, we got to get both these girls in to talk to them because it's just an interesting storyline. And they threw it at us in like the last couple episodes too. So I'll give the producers this. They did a really good job putting this episode together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're still not friends because Bailey said she will never be friends with her again. So live chat, you got the tea
Let us know.
We do know Bailey said that she wasn't even going to watch this episode.
I saw that on her either Twitter or it's probably Twitter. Ooh, I saw it tonight.
On her Twitter.
That she's like, nope, can't watch tonight. Not going to happen.
I mean, that's the thing of it. I like to think that I would be level-headed and composed on this show, but do we all really know how we would act? So it's like,
no idea.
Right.
I get it too. Bailey's probably mortified and embarrassed and doesn't want to watch this. Like, I get that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they say that Bunker does things to you. And I believe that. You know, you can be the most sane, level-headed person, but you have to think you're in there for, I don't know how many months. They said there were no windows whatsoever. And you go crazy in there. So I even though I don't really 100% agree with her actions this episode, I definitely feel for her, especially because her support, Swaggy C, was not there to help her. So,
Carlita, I am reading this chat. Carlita said, "Don't act like y'all read this chat."
I'm looking over too. I'm looking over too.
That's why I'm looking this way.
It's hard. It's hard to do both, guys. We're trying our best here. All right, let's move on to the killing floor. Proving ground. Oh, I mean purgatory. Yes, that's what it's called. And it's called Off With Your Heads. And you got five. You each have five red skulls. They got to pull them off each other. And it's Melissa versus Nani, and classic Nani, close but no cigar. So that's classic Nani.
Man.
It really is tale as old as time with her. It's like, I feel bad. I do. But it's also like, if she hasn't gotten there yet, I don't know.
That's my point. If she went in first week, if she had to go in there first week, is she already out first week? Like, that's my thing with Nani. It's like, I think she has a great political game because she gets very far in these things. But then when it comes to the challenges and the elimination,
she has
it's
a lot
like,
of friends.
Yeah. But for the rest of it, it's like, she's okay, very average at all the other things that you have to do on a challenge. Swimming, not really good at swimming. Like,
but as far as scrappy female athletes go, we had like the best combination. I think this was better than Bananas and Wes. whatever the hype, whatever, how many seasons it's taken for Bananas and Wes to go against each other. When I saw it was Nani and Melissa, I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, about to go down. Yeah. Melissa is scrappy. Nani is passionate. And so the elimination was really good. And as we saw, it was neck and neck the entire time.
I got to give it to Nani. She held her own like no other. So it wasn't like last season where I felt it was more of a landslide when she was going against Ashley. But this one, she almost won. And I was proud of her.
Yeah. I'll say this. Melissa's baby swimming around in her belly, right? Is it just me? Like, that baby is flying around in there. I cannot, every week, I'm like, the stuff that this baby's gonna be like the best athlete in the world because this baby's been prepping since being inside the womb. And
the baby should be the new TJ.
Her baby's father is a, he does something in sports, like he's a football player in the UK.
Oh, nice!
Like football, like soccer, I think.
Yeah,
legs. We did not need to see Dan's foot right now.
I just wanted to clarify which it was.
That's incredible.
Benny can't. Benny's in studio. It's harder for him to do that. He's got his legs underneath the table. So,
I have a question. Who are you guys rooting for? Watching this,
I wrote that down, and I didn't care. But I guess Melissa, just because, why not? I think Melissa.
I was rooting for Nani.
She needs one. I'll give you that for Benny. Nani needs a win, so I can see why you'd want her to win for sure.
I love them both. So it was hard for me. It's so weird how this happens because in eliminations where I love both people, I can't really come up with a reason. It's just gut instinct, and I just find myself audibly cheering for somebody. And this time it was Melissa, and I was just like, okay, well, I guess I clearly want Melissa to win because I'd be like, come on, get it. Yeah. All right, nice. But then Nani would do something. I'm like, okay, that's good for you too, Nani. But yeah, I don't know if it's because Melissa's pregnant, but I feel like Melissa had an early departure on the last season she was on, and I know that she is a great competitor, so I just wanted to see her like succeed in that.
Yeah, I thought that she was just a little more aggressive too than Nani, and I just love the extra aggression, so I just wanted her to win. She just seemed a little harder, a little more badass when she was really like,
And Melissa's always like that during eliminations. Because remember I want to say it was her second elimination during her rookie season. And I forget who it was against, but she lost. But how she was going at it, it was like when they had to wrestle the ball away from each other and they were in oil.
It's the girl that's teamed up with Josh that season. It's going to oh, God.
It's gonna bother me also.
It's gonna bother me. She
went all the way, you know, even though she lost. Like that girl is a competitor.
Yeah. Nani always does have that insecurity too that I think mentally messes her up before an elimination, but she brought it tonight. But we see in the past few seasons, and she said it before the elimination, I just, like, it's not something I'm ever gonna be able to shake off. And Melissa, on the other hand, is like, unbothered. Like, I feel like she was talking to Fessy and she was just like, yeah, I'm ready.
American Dad fan jumps in and says
Nani was like,
sorry, Ben.
No, go ahead.
On a delay here. I just was right. American Dad fan jumped in and told us it was Sylvia that Melissa was going against in that
Sylvia
wrestling
thing.
Yeah,
Sylvia.
Yeah.
And they fought dirty in that too. There was elbows.
Melissa fought,
Yeah, Sylvia was getting pissed. I remember. Yes.
Ooh, and Benny, you were saying something. Is like,
go ahead,
real
Benny.
Pissed. We forgot it was Sylvia. Sorry, bro.
Oh no, it's fine. It's good.
All right. Well, let's get into what's happening. They show us there's going to be a double elimination next week, but it also shows that there's going to be one more round. Jenna's just reading the comments now. It's going to be one more round. I see what you're doing, girl.
So
it's going to be one more round of eliminations. So. Therefore, everyone's basically going to get a chance for a Red Skull. No one's just going to have to leave unless both Josh and Kyle can't get in there. But I got a feeling it's going to be Josh versus Kyle next week, and everyone got a chance at a Red Skull. And then Bailey's going to get in too, so everyone had an opportunity.
Everyone gets his participation skull.
I have a
skull.
Prediction.
Go ahead.
I have a prediction. This prediction actually isn't from me. It's from one of our hosts, Sana. who is a huge fan of the show.
Is she sitting right there?
Ben, is she sitting right there?
She's
sitting
right next to me. Benny, slide her in and have her tell us
what it is.
Can we do that?
Well, real quick, just see what your prediction is.
But I'll just say it. I'll just say it. She's working on something. But she was pretty much saying that what if the people who have more than one red skull can have the choice of giving a red skull to someone who doesn't have a red skull, and they can go to the final. So they can either keep it or give it away.
Tell them to get the hell out of here.
I like it.
I'll say this. I told you guys being the season when what's his face got like three red skulls, I was like, why did he get extra red skulls? TJ made that pretty obvious that you could have more than one. Is there something that could be going on with those? So maybe I think maybe Sana's right.
Sana's a great prediction, but I do think the best prediction comes from the group, the live chat right now.
Here we go.
Shout out NS Project. You're really bringing the heat tonight. He says, spoiler alert. It's actually more of a spoiler than a prediction. Josh cries.
Yes.
Oh, I can't.
He wrote it twice. He wrote it twice. He wanted us to let him know that Josh might cry two times, possibly then. Who knows?
Oh, I only saw it once. I wonder if they might. It'd be maybe cool if they could just do an equalizer. So, competition fear for like male and female competitors where they just have everybody without a red skull just go at it. Like, just go in purgatory, y'all. Just go at it.
Double elimination. You have to get like through two rounds, and the only person that wins both rounds gets to go through. Only one more red skull available. Maybe it's something like that. Ooh.
Yeah, make it like an obstacle course, like a Tough Mudder or something. Just stick them in there and see who
Yeah, I love it. Stick them in there. Guys, we have 2 minutes left. Any final thoughts? Any more fun predictions? Anything else?
Finally, we got a good episode.
Yeah.
Finally.
Final thought is...
I was happy.
I love this show, but don't you just feel like it's kind of like get on with this show a little bit? Like, aren't we just kind of...
Yeah.
It's dragging a little bit.
Well, yeah.
And we're only on episode, like, 14?
Yeah, so I'm predicting... Well, I'm predicting we get at least one more to two more episodes than a two episode final, so four episodes max left. Maybe only three though, and then we have a reunion. That's what I'm thinking.
Because there were 18 episodes last season, right?
So we're at 13 right now. So that puts you at 17 if there's four more. But
yeah.
I mean, they used to be only like 12 episode seasons, and now it's like 21 episodes with a two-part reunion.
Yeah, they do like TV sitcom style. 24 episodes. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight, guys. My name is Daniel Lindgren. You hit me up on TikTok at IdiotBoxBoys. Let's throw it over to Jenna. She's still in the live chat.
Yes, thank you, guys.
She loves
Thanks
it.
For tuning in. I'm loving it. You're right. I'm not able to multitask with reading it, but I'm loving it. You guys are going off. Thanks for watching. Thanks for your support. Carlita, I see you. I'm on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier. And Benny, what's good?
You guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to us. If you guys haven't seen it yet, go and catch my interview with Jordan and Naya. It's a really good one. Also, for more challenge news updates, go and follow our exclusive Instagram page at Challenge News Now.
All right. Peace out, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Later, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.